Awesome. All right. See, I don't have to give much of an invitation to the family here at CBCA. It's just like, talk. Okay, we know how to do that. Let's do it. Awesome. So in that spirit, I want to encourage you guys that this morning, feel free to talk. Feel free to talk back to me if there's something that you're like, man, that's good. I'm liking that. Then feel free to call that out. I'm just saying, like, I know a big part of when I'm listening to people speaking, and there is something that just really resounds with me or resonates, that quite often I like to verbally acknowledge that. And so from time to time, you might hear a come on or something like that come out of my mouth. And so just in that moment, really, it's just an amen. It's just saying amen. It's just like, thank you, Jesus, for that word or for that truth or whatever it is. And so I just want to like just announce that so that there is a freedom in this place to, if there is something that is spoken to you, just to announce it and to just go, amen, come on, this is good. Thank you, God. But this morning is the end of our series. Well, no, it's not the end, sorry. We are nearing the end of our series, Gifted. And this series has been a series on the spiritual gifts. But even though we're nearing the end of the series, it is only the beginning for some of us. And it is just the continuation for the rest of us on this journey in discovering the gifts that God has given us. Like, just because we're coming to the end of the series, in no way does it mean that we have a handle on, like, the gifts that God gives, one to us and two to the church, and do we have a handle on how does this gift look like in terms of it being worked out in my life? And so, really, although we come to the end of this series, it is really just the continuation of this journey that God has us on as a family, as a whānau here, journeying with one another, as God reveals to us the gifts that he has given us so that we can bless others, so that we can build others up, and we can love the community that we have been placed in here in Frankton, in Hamilton, in New Zealand, in this part of this world. And that is just an extension of the gifts that God has given us, and it's good. Because we are nearing the end of the series, though, we wanted to kind of this morning pose a question in the kind of the spirit of this being a journey, because we could finish the series off and be like, okay, done and dusted, like we'll wipe our hands of that, we've all got this all sorted now, and we're going to carry on. But by posing a question, it opens up to acknowledging the fact that this is a journey. That as a family here at CBC and as individuals, God is going to, over the years, continue to do a work in us as he reveals to us what he has for us to do. And so this morning, the question is this: what are my gifts? What are my gifts? And the fact, that question is almost one of the key reasons why we ended up in this series in the first place. And really, because that question is a question that, one, I have asked of myself many times, but two, I have heard, like, many friends and just the family around me, I've heard posed, what are my gifts? Really, I suppose I've gotten to the point on the spiritual gifts topic around thinking about it this way, and it's the idea that the topic of spiritual gifts for most of us can be confusing at the best of times. It can be confusing at the best of times and discouraging and like disabling at the worst of times. Because so often we can like look around at those around us and see people like doing amazing things and then we kind of like are like stuck in our own heads and we're just thinking, well, what are my gifts? What are my gifts? What has God given me to do? And we're left kind of scratching our heads and going, well, this could be it, maybe. I'm not totally sure. And it's this almost like hyper-spiritual thing where we're like, oh, well, I'm going to just wait for God to like write it in the sky and make it super clear that this is exactly what I'm meant to be doing, when I think that, in all honesty, we're missing the point. If we're at that place where we're going, okay, I wonder what my gifts are. I'm just going to sit around and wait for God to show me in some like crazy wonder way. And then all of a sudden we live a life where never once have we stepped into the gifts that God has given us. And I speak that out of experience in my own life, that so often when there is a sense in my life that God is calling me into something and I'm unsure about it, and I wait on God to like move in some crazy way in my own life, and I'm left sitting there, and I know that already in the few years that I've lived in my own life, that there has been missed opportunities. Because God pressed it on my heart, and was that not enough for me to step into that? Wasn't that enough? And it's just like God pressed it on my heart, and what did I do with it? Well, I sat with it, and I sat with it, and I sat, and I just let it kind of like fade away. And I kind of think that the spiritual gifts, because they are just that, they are spiritual, they are spirit given by God Himself. We expect this, not expect, sorry. We hyper-spiritualize the whole experience as if there is no way in which we can practically discover the gifts that God has given us. That's what I'm trying to say. Does that make a little more sense? No? All right, sweet. We're going to journey this a little bit more this morning, and hopefully by the end of it, we'll get there. It's all good. It can be, okay, I'm going to give a practical example. It can be kind of like at Christmas time when you're a kid, okay, and you're opening your presents as a family and you're looking at the gifts that your siblings have received, and that, so you're looking at the, like, there you are on Christmas morning, you're looking at the gifts that your siblings have been given, and you're wondering if you're going to get anything as cool as they have. You're wondering if you're going to get anything as cool as they have. In fact, I actually have a story to tell about just that example, where when we were kids as a family growing up, one Christmas day, we were, so here's the scene, it's Christmas day, we all there? Everybody been transported? Awesome, sweet, we're there. So it's Christmas day, we're in the lounge, and there are presents under the tree, and on that particular year, Mum and Dad had decided to buy my little sis a bike for Christmas. Now, we all know that either you don't assemble the bike or you don't put it under the Christmas tree, okay, because they're quite large. And so what Mum and Dad did is they put it out the back door and put a bow on it so that come time, they could take her to the backyard, open up the door, and there's her present. I mean, we all agree that bikes are kind of a cool present to get as a kid, yeah? Yeah, yeah, we all remember those bikes that we got. It was good times. And so here we were, it was Christmas Day, we were opening our presents, and as we were opening our presents, and you know how you kind of get that one special one from Mum and Dad, you know, like, and there's a little bit of thought that's been put into it, and that kind of thing, and so you open that gift, and then it's like, oh, cool, you're like, I didn't know I was getting this, or I was hoping I was going to get this, or that kind of thing. And then I remember at one point looking up and looking across to my little sister, and there was kind of like the glow of Christmas had left, you know, because we were getting low on presents under the tree. None of them were like that exciting looking. And you could see that there was this, like, maybe I've been forgotten, you know, like, maybe Mum and Dad have not bought me a present this year, you know, like, and so there was this, you could see this worry kind of coming on her, and sure enough, we got to the end of it, and there was no present for Anne's from Mum and Dad, and she was just like, you could just kind of see her processing it, like, what did I do? Like, does Mum and Dad love me? You know, that kind of thing. It was just this confusion. And then Mum and Dad were like this, hey, Anne's, like, we've got a present for you. Come with us. And so out we went, and we opened up, Mum and Dad opened the door, and there was the bike just sitting there with its bow on. And it was really funny because, you know, like, there was this, There was definitely excitement, but Anne's first reaction was she broke down and cried. Just because it was like, I haven't been forgotten. You know, like my parents do love me. They've given me something. And it's amazing. And it's good. And I'm feeling like loved again. And what I would say in all of that is that for my sis looking on, she could see what we were all getting and was left wondering what gift she had. She was left wondering what gift she had. We all knew, this is the thing, we all knew that she had something special. We all knew that she had something special. But until she knew what Mum and Dad had got her, she couldn't get excited about it and she couldn't use it. She couldn't get excited about it and she couldn't use it until she knew what she had. And it might seem like that's a really simple picture, but it's the exact same thing with God and the gifts, the good gifts that He gives. And so over the next month, thanks, Dad. Yeah. Good. It's good. Sweet. So over the next month, we're going to be spending time as a church doing this, okay? This is what we're going to be doing as a church over the next month or so. We are going to be discovering alongside one another what gifts we have been given. We're going to be doing that alongside one another because in community it is super important to do that because it's way better to be excited about a gift that you've got with people around you than just on your own. Agreed? Yeah? Christmas Day, part of the awesomeness is that people get excited about what you've been given. And so that's why there is importance in doing this in community. We're going to be getting excited for one another. We're also going to be affirming what we see in one another. That we're saying, hey, that is a good gift. Hey, you should use that. You know what? Have you thought about doing this with your gift? That kind of thing. You know, as kids, how you get excited and you all kind of want to have a turn with it. And that it's not that we can like have turns with each other's gifts so much, but it's just affirming what we see in one another. And basically getting to the point where we're encouraging one another to be using our gifts so that others are built up. And so that's what we're going to be doing over this next season. And so this morning, I want us to take some time to look at and talk about some things that help us to discover and explore the gifts that God has given to us. And it is just that. This is a discussion. I might have a few things to say about it this morning, but we're going to continue to discuss and explore this as a family over the coming weeks. In months, however long it takes, I'm guessing years. But that is a good thing because we get excited for one another and we affirm one another and we say, that is a good gift. Use it. That is a good gift. You should use it. And the first thing that we can do, and so I broke it down into a couple of points to just make it really easy because I needed this. I needed something really practical and tangible this morning. And it was this, the first thing that we can do, and we should do, is seek the gifts. Seek the gifts. In Scripture, we are encouraged to seek after and to desire them. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, it's going to come up on screen. It says, follow the way of love. Again, super important, that first line gives context to all of the spiritual gifts. And where it says, follow the way of love, this is all to be done in love. In love. In love. In fact, I kind of think I remember preaching on that, like maybe 6 weeks ago or something like that. The fact that the gifts have been given to us in love from our loving Heavenly Father, but they are also intended to be practiced and used in love to build others up. We can't remove the gifts from love. They are not about us. It says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12, 12 verses down, it says, so it is with you. So this is after what Paul has been saying to the church in Corinth. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. Now, in both of these verses, the word for desire or eager or eagerly desire, as we've just read, are variations of the same Greek word and basically mean this. And the definition is going to come up on screen because it's cool. The word is basically means this, to be deeply committed to something, with the implication of accompanying desire, to be earnest, to set one's heart on, to be completely intent upon, a person with zealous enthusiasm, and I love how it says in brackets, literally boils over with passion. Literally boiling over with passion. And so when you read that definition, I don't know about you, but I don't come away with a picture of somebody who has merely a passive interest or like a hobby in the spiritual gifts. It doesn't happen. When it says to eagerly desire the gifts, we are to boil over with passion to set our hearts upon it. In fact, it's almost a command in that we are to seek the gifts with zealous enthusiasm, with passion. I'm not going to go there yet. I'm not going to go there. All right. And so what does it look like to seek? Oh, my gosh. I'm not having much success with my water bottle this morning. So what does it look like to seek the gifts? Okay. What does it look like to seek the gifts? Well, I think it's someone who does these two things. And so what I was just saying, we're going to kind of pull apart a little bit more. They do these two things. They ask God to reveal what gifts he has given them. They ask God to reveal to them what gifts he has given them. And the other one is to ask God for more of what he has given. To ask, there we go, it's good. And to ask God for more of what he has given. The reason that I've got to the point of these two really practical points, which are on screen, maybe, not yet. Can we have them up on screen? It's not working? Okay, sweet as. So the gifts were the points were this, to ask God to reveal what gifts he has given, and the other one was to ask God for more of what he has given. And the reason behind these two points that I've pulled out on seeking the gifts is that to ask God to reveal to us what gifts he has given, it takes away, we place ourselves in a position of accepting what he has given as opposed to us trying to manufacture something that we hope to be given. Big difference there. We place ourselves in a humble position, accepting what he has given, as opposed to us trying to manufacture something that we hope God has given us. Big, big difference. And then the other one, when we are asking God for more of what he has given us, is not because we're greedy or we have this nature that we want more of it, but because of what why the gifts exist, which are to bless others. And so do you think that God would have a problem with us asking for more of what he has already given us, which the reason why is so that others would be blessed, that others would be built up, so that communities would be changed and people would be loved. Do you think God would have a problem with giving us more of that? No. God is good and he longs to give good gifts. And a part of how he blesses people is he blesses you. Blessed to be a blessing was what you read in the Abrahamic covenant for God's chosen people. I will bless you and you will bless others. That was God's way of blessing this world. And so he has blessed you with spiritual gifts and he invites you to come to him and go, God, what you have given me, I thank you for it. But also I want more of it so that I can bless more. Because it is acknowledging who it comes from and the fact that if we want to see these gifts change the communities that we are in, then for that to happen, we have to be resourced by God. We have to be resourced by God. And so when we're coming to him and asking for more, it's not because we're greedy, but it's because we know that without him, we wouldn't have this gift in the first place. Changes so much. It actually does. And so another thing that we can be doing, which comes out of seeking the gifts and is kind of a part of seeking out what your gifts is to identify them. And this is a really practical piece, this one. That as we ask God to reveal to us what they are, we are not just sitting around waiting for something to happen, but we are being intentional about figuring out what God has given us to do, like what gifts he has blessed us, which actually fits really well with the Greek meaning of desiring. It fits in really well with that definition, which is to be earnest, to set one's heart on, to be completely intent upon. Someone like that does not just sit around and wait for something to happen. It doesn't happen that way. And so a part of us discovering our spiritual gifts is God's invitation and identifying what he gave us in the first place. And as we do that, then we start to be active in the gift that he has given us. And we start to use it to bless those that are around us. A great way that I've found to help me identify what gifts God has given me is to ask two questions. Two questions. You ask one question and then you ask a question of that first question. And it's this. What gives me a sense of fulfillment? That's the first question. What gives me a sense of fulfillment? So asking that of ourselves, okay, what brings me a sense of fulfillment? What brings me a sense of joy? That kind of thing. But then the second question, which really is the qualifier of the first question, is this. Does it produce fruit? Does it produce fruit? And the reason that I say that the second question is really important to ask of the first question is that if you don't do that, you're just going to end up with a whole lot of things that you're interested in. Does it bring me fulfillment? Yeah, okay, I'm going to enjoy it then, you know, like that kind of thing. But then when you ask the second question of the first question, does it produce fruit? All of a sudden it helps us to siphon out the things that merely we're interested in or we're passionate about to the things that God has given us to use for his kingdom and for his glory. Yeah. When God gives gifts, he gives good gifts because he is goodness. I mean, I could have said because he is good, but he is more than good. He is goodness itself. He is the definition of good. And so when God gives gifts, he gives good gifts. God doesn't just give us gifts that won't work with how he's wired us to be. That's a really important thing to know. He will not give us a gift that like goes against how he has made us to be or the personality that he has given us. He doesn't give us gifts that are going to drain us. He doesn't give us gifts that we're going to hate. It's not a gift then. And so there's this great way in being able to ask those two questions to flesh it out, being going, okay, I'm good at this, but I hate it. I'm good at this, but I hate it, then it's not a gift. Because God does not give gifts you are going to hate. He gives good gifts that will, one, bless you and fulfill you, but also bless and fulfill those around you. And so the other part of that is that he gave gifts so that others would be blessed. And that's why that we can ask the question, does it produce fruit? Or another way that you could put it is this. Are others blessed when I fill in the blank. Are others blessed when I fill in the blank? That's another way of asking, does it produce fruit? Like, are others blessed by it or just myself? Because if it's just me, then I'm guessing that it's probably not a gift that God has given me to use to build others up, but potentially just a gift he has given me for me to enjoy. And so it enables us to, like, distinguish between just interests and passions that he has given us and spiritual gifts that he has given us to bless others with. Over the next while as a family, we're going to be working through a guide that has been made for us here at CBC. Here it is. We're going to be working through this guide, okay, that has been made for us here at CBC. And so there's been quite a few months of work being put into that. But it's exciting. It's exciting because I'm believing in terms of I'm confident that God is going to reveal some amazing things to us as individuals and as a family. And that not because this book is anything special, but because this is a part of identifying our gifts. It's just that really practical thing that we can do so that others are going to be blessed. Finally, a key part of knowing what our spiritual gifts are is this. This is going to blow your brain, okay? So listen up. A final part in knowing what our spiritual gifts are is to grow them. That actually growing your gift, practicing your gift, is a part of how you know your gifts. Because it's simply, I mean, it's one thing to just go, oh, I have the gift of encouragement, and then to just sit on it. It's another thing to go, I have the gift of encouragement, and for the last year, God has been teaching me how to use this gift. And I have seen more and more people blessed and encouraged and changed by God through me than I have before. See how that's actually a really important part in knowing what our gifts are, is to grow the gift. Because it's not that we simply want to know about it, it's we want to know it intimately. So that when come the time we have an opportunity to practice it, we know exactly how to do it. There is a big difference in just simply knowing about a gift and knowing the gift intimately that God has given us so that others will be built up and blessed. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 to 8 says this: for just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. That's a bit of a tongue twister there. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. In other words, Paul is saying, just do it. I don't think, like, it just, we break it down. If it's encouragement, encourage. If it's teaching, teach. If it's leading, then lead. Just do it. A part of knowing what our gifts are is growing what our gifts are. Part of knowing is growing. And so, Paul's call to the church in Rome at that time was, whatever gift you have, use it. Practice it. That others will be blessed up and encouraged by the fact that you are intentionally seeking to be used by God for His glory, and that lives will be changed forever. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, each of you should use whatever gift. What? Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. As we practice our gifts in that same moment, do you know that you are actually being not just a faithful steward, but a part of being a faithful steward is acknowledging where the gift came from and giving thanks to the one who gave it? That as you practice your gift, you are actually giving thanks to God for the gift He has given you, because He says it is by His grace it's been given. And so in that moment, you're actually giving thanks to God for His grace. That's pretty cool. Not just pretty cool, that's flipping amazing. That in that moment of practicing the gifts that I have been given, at the same time, I can be worshiping my mighty God for the grace that He has extended me. Were it not for that grace, I would not have this gift. And ultimately, the greatest gift that He has ever given me, which is life and liberty and freedom in Christ. Because He saved me and He loves me. And as I practice this gift, at that same time, I'm giving thanks to God for all that he has ever done for me. It is a way of bringing him glory. I mean, we say that the gifts bring him glory, but this is another part of how the gifts bring him glory. Because as I do it, what am I doing? Bringing him glory. I'm thanking him for the grace that he has extended to me. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 to 7 says this: "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God." Because as we practice our gift, as we grow our gift, what we do is we blow on a little ember that God has given us. And when embers get hot, what do? They glow, yep. But eventually what happens? Fire. As we practice our gifts, fires will be lit in the communities that we are in. And people will see the glory of God and lives will be changed forever. It is a guarantee. That is what is going to happen. And so the call is to fan, like blow on that ember, that gift that God has given you. Blow on it. Grow it. See it start to glow and then eventually burst into flame so that people will see the light and love of Jesus. How are some ways that I can grow my gifts? I've just gone with twos for each one of these. So here we go. Practice your gifts. I've said this time and time again, literally in like the last 5-10 minutes. Practice your gifts. But I think the next one is that, which is really important, is submitting ourselves and gifts to God, the gift giver. Submitting ourselves and gifts to God, the gift giver. And as we do that there is almost this this full rotation, this circle that goes on. Because what do we do when we first start seeking the gifts? We ask God to reveal to us what gifts he has given us. And then come the end of this process, we are then submitting ourselves and the gifts that God has given to us. We're going back to the gift giver. At the start, we go to the gift giver. At the end, we go to the gift giver. Because ultimately and only through him are we going to know how these gifts are meant to be used. And the lives that will be changed won't be changed through what I can do, but through what the Spirit of God has done in me and is doing through me. There is a big difference. And so at the start of this process, we go to God and ask him to reveal. At the end of it, we go to God and we say, "God, I thank you and I give them back to you so that I can know more in myself, so that you can teach me and extend in me the knowledge of what this gift looks like so that I am prepared in every season and every situation to bless those that are around me." The reason that it is important to submit ourselves and our gifts to God is because of what that does. When we submit ourselves to God and the gifts that he has given us, we are going back to the one who not only has given the gifts, but without him, we wouldn't have them in the first place. That as we go to him, we are remembering the ultimate gift that we have, that we have been given, that makes all of these other gifts possible to receive. When we go and we submit ourselves to God, what we are doing is it's just such an awesome way of reminding ourselves of the fact that we actually have an ultimate gift. And without that gift given through Jesus, we would not have the ability to receive these other gifts that God has given us. And so it enables us to bring ourselves back into this place of like a humble posture before God, acknowledging that it is through him and in him that we have all things. That were it not for God himself, life would not exist. That it is his breath that is in our lungs. That should not have been that hard. Hey, band, do you guys want to come on up? I'm going to finish this right now. I read from 2 Timothy chapter 1, 6 and 7, but a few verses down, it says in 9 and 10, there are these amazing couple of verses, some of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, where it says this: he has saved us and called us to a holy life. This is Jesus we're talking about, the gift giver. We're going back to the gift giver now. And so what has this gift giver done for us? Okay, well, we're going there. You ready? You ready? All right, here we go. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything that we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it now has been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus. It has now appeared to us. And then this next line, which is just, it's just freaking amazing, man. What has Christ Jesus done for us? He who has destroyed death and brought to life and immortality, and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So we go to God and we submit ourselves to him, the best gift giver ever. And we love him and we praise him and we seek him and we submit ourselves and our gifts to him as we grow in him. Because we have to remember this. We have to remember this, that the gifts, the spiritual gifts, are only a taste of what we will experience in the presence of Jesus. They're only a taste of it. Scripture tells us that the gifts almost kind of like fall away once we enter his presence, because there is no need for them, because the greatest gift we will ever receive is his presence and knowing him for who he is, because we will be made like him in that moment. And so, what do? Well, we seek the gifts, and we identify them. We don't just sit on our butts and hope that something will happen, but we seek them, we identify them, and then we grow them. We practice the gifts that God has given us. And a part of doing that is taking the gifts that he has placed in our hands, and we go, wow, thank you, Jesus. Gift of encouragement, gift of help, gift of teaching, whatever it might be, you know. You've given this to me. Jesus, I give it back to you so that it will be used for your glory and the extension of your kingdom. And people will be blessed forever and ever and ever. It is such an important question to ask, what are my gifts? But it is so dangerous to get hung up on that question. Because as soon as we do that, we take our eyes off the gift giver. And the reason he gave the gifts was so that the church would be built up and the communities that we are in, the workplaces we are in, the schools that we are in, wherever you might find yourself, the sports team that you are in, wherever that may be, that those communities would be changed forever. Because they will see somebody who is spirit empowered and greatly loved by the King of Heaven and who came to rescue this world. And that is the truth of Jesus. And so what do we do when we ask the questions, the question, what are my gifts? Well, we also ask the question, what do the gifts exist for? You can't separate those two questions. You cannot separate them. Pursue the way of love. Pursue the way of love. And eagerly desire the gifts. So this morning we're going to just step into a time of worship to our God, submitting ourselves to Him. And so I don't know where you are in that process. If you're in the seek, if you're wrestling with the identify, or if you're in this growing phase of your life with the gifts that God has given you. But wherever it is so important to be continually coming to the gift giver and giving Him praise for the ultimate gift that He has given us, life and freedom and liberty and Jesus. So just invite you guys to stand where you are. And we're just going to have a time of just seeking God, asking that He would just guide us in this time of worship, that He would move powerfully amongst us and that He would speak to us. Yeah. King Jesus. King Jesus. Were it not for You, we could not even in this moment be in Your presence. Free from guilt and shame. And so we give You praise and glory. But we also acknowledge that the breath that is in our lungs is a gift from You. And we want to sing to You and we want to praise You and we want to seek Your face now. And so just as we do that, just ask that You would speak to us. That You would show Yourself to us. That You would reveal Your face to us. And I thank You, God, that You are not in any way disengaged or distant from any one of us this morning, but that it is Your heart and that it is Your desire to show Yourself to us and for us to be forever changed by catching a glimpse of Your glory. So thank You, Jesus. You are our Savior and King. And to You, we give the praise.